Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Hybrid Jazz from Trish Hennessy. Hybrid Jazz is a vision of all that is jazz, both traditional and contemporary, domestic and global. Here's your host, Trish Hennessy.
Well, thank you, Dave Solomon. You know, this is going to be an unusual day on Hybrid Jazz, and it's going to be maybe one of those situations that will be for as long as we're going to be doing Hybrid Jazz. And that is, it's a hybrid holiday open house. Now, here's what that means. That means that anyone who has an event to share, a project to pitch, a little how do you do, a recommendation, a shout out, gets to call. It's an open house. 323-843-6172. Here's the cool thing. We've got Tim Warfield on tap for about 15 minutes after the hour, which is awesome. Angelisha Rogers, so fearless on that trumpet, who was just on BET's Black Girls Rock, is going to be on the show a little bit later on. And then Debbie Kirkland, who has a new video out called Back Off Santa that she wrote with her friend and our friend Joe DeCara, is coming on the show in the last hour. So we've got three guests at least and some music in the meantime. So let's see what transpires, shall we? I love it. We always have a classic when we start the show, if we can possibly swing it, and we are going to swing a little bit right here with Dexter Gordon and Have Yourself a Merry Christmas on Hybrid Jazz.
Thank you.
Well, let me tell you, if I could start Hybrid Jazz from Trish Hennessy every single show with an 8-minute version of Santa Claus is Coming to Town by Tim Warfield and Company, don't you know I would do it? That is so choice. Look, is it any wonder that Tim Warfield's Jazzy Christmas has been named by the New York Times Holiday Guide as one of their recommended for 2013? The author of such frivolity, creativity, and artistic genius is right here with us. Tim Warfield, how are you?
I'm doing fine, Trish. How are you?
I'm better now. Thank you. Oh, my God. Look, you know what? If you have any more good news happen to you, you won't be able to stand yourself. Am I right about that?
I don't know about that one. I think all the good news I can get.
Man, every time I turn around, your Jazzy Christmas tour is doing better and better. And, of course, we're all so psyched that you're coming to Baltimore. This is such a cut above anything that folks can see, Tim. Honestly, it's beautiful.
Oh, well, thank you. I know everybody's really looking forward to coming and performing there, for sure.
Well, look, you know, you and I, we've got some Temple University affiliations in between us. And you are
That's
a Pennsylvania
right.
guy, and I'm a Pennsylvania girl. You're from York. I'm from Philly. So I feel as if we're kin already. And then you and this wonderful assortment of beautiful artistic souls were at Jazzway 6004 last year, knocked everybody's socks off. This is a bigger venue. Tim, how, first of all, is the tour going in your estimation, and who do you have with you when you come to Baltimore?
Oh, it's going quite well. We just were in Erie, Pennsylvania, at Mary Beverly D'Angelo Performing Arts Center, I think it's called. No, Mary D'Angelo Performing Arts Center.
Okay.
And that was, you know, that show was a great success. I hear rumors that there's talks about having us back next year.
Oh, great.
And, you know, we had a little trouble with the weather for Philadelphia. Actually, we had a lot of trouble with the weather for Philadelphia. So we weren't able to perform there. We performed there probably performed in Philadelphia longer than any other city, maybe next to Reading, because we did a lot of performances in Reading as well.
Yeah.
But, you know, we have something coming up clearly in my hometown and then off to Baltimore the next day, and I'm bringing Frontline will be Terrell Stafford on trumpet, vibraphonist, the brilliant vibraphonist, Stefan Harris.
Oh, yeah.
Of course, the sultry and wonderful Joanna Pascal.
Oh, my girl.
On vocals, yes. And then we're bringing Clarence Penn on the drums, who one of my favorite drummers. Not only is he has, not only can he swing infectiously, but he also has an immaculate orchestrating sort of sense about him.
That's so cool.
So there's a lot of interesting. If you really listen to the CD, there are a lot of little interesting things that happen that you might not normally hear from a drummer who's just used to swinging. And that's what they do. It's like, well, we swing. But he does some very interesting things. And then we have Rodney Whitaker, who
awesome.
You know, he doesn't really need an announcement. And of course,
yep.
last but not least, the wonderful, soulful Cyrus Chestnut. At the piano,
hometown hero.
Who is, yes, Baltimore's own.
That's right.
For sure.
That's right.
Yeah. And so it'll be a good time for sure.
It'll be a good time, and see that the timing is so right for this, because it's this coming Sunday. It's the 22nd of December and 3 days before Christmas. So
Christmas.
People will be pumped. And this venue is getting some real buzz, the Patterson Theater, because it seems to be acoustically so cool. The the location, as far as folks coming into town, is real palatable, because in Baltimore, it's much like Philly, Tim. You got to pull teeth a little bit to get folks to pay attention, because we have been used to such great music. And when you know, when folks are knowing that they're going to see great music, they also want to know that it's not going to be too much of a hassle when they get there.
No, I understand.
So,
I understand totally. Big City will do that to you.
Oh, I know. I do know. And I have to say about Joanna, because I told her when she was on the show, you know, she's my Philly girl. When I first came into Jazzway 6004 last year to see the Jazzy Christmas show, it was mind-blowing. But it's one of those situations where I fell in love with each of the artists, but especially Joanna, because she was wearing green patent leather shoes that she just got from Italy. So
yeah. Who knows what it's
going
to be this year, but I can guarantee you it's going to be something.
Oh, I know. I'm so excited. And you are one of those masters. I really do view you as a saxophone sensei. You are, oh my gosh, a formidable talent. And lest folks do not know this, this is a man who has shared the stage with Donald Byrd, Dizzy Gillespie, Shirley Scott, Jimmy Smith, has toured with Nicholas Payton, Christian McBride, Terrell Stafford. Some great names in jazz, and that's what the key is to the beauty of Tim Warfield's Jazzy Christmas. Tim, I so appreciate that you kept it jazz, because so many folks want to dabble into other areas, and I love the fact that the show is called Hybrid Jazz, but I love those cats and kitties who love the genre and find interesting ways to imbue new life into it. So thank you.
Oh, well, thank you. Thank you. I appreciate it. I can't really imagine doing it any other way. If I didn't do this, I'd probably be a chef or something.
Well, that's, you know, not bad.
I mean, I understand what you're saying, because I see it a lot. I've now been, it's funny, because the history prior to me is, everything is a lot more clear, particularly as I work towards having a better understanding in business. And, you know, I've kind of lived long enough now to see, you know, even some of, see, you know, grow up with some heroes, outlive some heroes. And
yeah,
and just watch other artists' evolutions, and you can kind of see how the idea of commerce and trends, for those who aren't necessarily the trendsetters but the trend followers, take its toll on the artistry of musicians. And just I'll be the first to say that jazz is something that can be an acquired taste. It wasn't for me, because I grew up probably in the womb listening to jazz.
Yeah.
So it was a very natural thing for me when I went and first started to learn how to play an instrument. That's what I expected. I had no clue that we were going to start out playing classical music to learn the instruments. I just thought we were going to start playing jazz music, because that's how I equated the saxophone, the trumpet, the bass. You know, I wasn't really looking at a bass and expecting someone to have, you know, an arc or bow, you know, playing that way on the instrument. So for me, it's always been that way. But understanding that it's it can be an acquired taste is something that you've got to not only immerse yourself in, which means it's always great to listen, but it's all, you know, via the radio, internet, whatever, but it's always a much more intimate experience if you can go live, and most importantly, be willing and open to being touched by the music.
And you said something really interesting And it just, a light bulb went off in me, and I have not said this before now, but and it may not have been what you intended to say, but when artists are involved in jazz, and then whatever compels them to perceive going forward, and in their minds, going forward means to dabble in other music or to loosen it up or to find other ways to do something besides jazz. In many cases, folks lose their authenticity. And when they lose their authenticity, it takes a toll on them. And then to try to find their way back is arduous. It's a long journey back to get to where you should have never strayed.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, people do it for all kinds of reasons. So it's not even an issue of judgment, but the bottom line is, it is what it is at the end of the road.
Yeah.
So you have to understand that when you get to the end of the road, because when you look back, you get a chance to look at your past. And so I'm trying my best to embrace what I believe and what I know to be a true idea to the music.
Well, Tim, here's the difference. You love it. You clearly love it. It's what you were born into. It's what you heard young. And it's second nature for you, since it's in your soul, to find creative ways of presenting it. Because I see you as the hope bearer to younger folks listening to jazz, because you have this purity of heart in delivering the goods. You relish it. You savor it. You find new ways to pop it out, to bring it to life. You surround yourself with people who feel you on that same page. So I'm just so grateful to you. I love these folks who explore and experiment, but, man, does my heart belong to true artists like you who love jazz first.
Well, thank you very much. Thank you.
Yeah, and I know that you don't have much time. You carved a little niche of time for me today, and God bless you.
I'm glad I was able to. I was a little worried that I wasn't going to be able to pull this off, but I'm as soon as I realized, oh, I can make this work, you know, I called Paul and said, Paul, I think I can do this. Let's try to make this happen. So I appreciate you taking
awesome.
The time.
Oh, are you kidding me? No, look, I've been trying to get you on the show for a while, and I know that you are busy during the day. You have been an artist in residence, for how many years? A couple of different places, but how long have you been a teacher as well as an artist?
You know, I try not to count these things because they're humbling.
Oh, stop
I'll just
it.
Guess, and we'll leave it at the guess. It's probably been about 8 years at Messiah College, and maybe about, no, it's probably been more than 8 years at Messiah College. I'll say 10,
and
maybe five at Temple now, either 4 or 5 years at Temple. You know, but like I said, I really am purposely not counting. Now, we don't need to know. We just need to continue to do.
Hey, look, the fact of the matter is, and I'm older than you, so I can say this. We are ageless, Tim Warfield, okay?
Okay, well, we'll keep this in mind. We'll keep that in our back pocket and pull that out when we need it.
Okay. Well, look, I am going to see you on the 22nd. You're going to be at this beautiful place in Baltimore and actually a few more places. And the best methodology for folks to track where you're going to be, if they're closer to you in a different place, where can they go? Your Facebook page?
Two places. My Facebook page, I try not to be on there too much, but I try to do something every day in terms of posting information. And
Understood.
Then, of course, you can go to www.timwarfield.com And that'll connect you to a site that will look like, it'll look like a Messiah site, kind of, but it'll have photos of me, and it'll say dates and discography and biography and that sort of a thing. And it's because my website, as a result of a part of my contract with Messiah, is actually connected to Messiah College.
They built it for me.
So you can find out information there as well.
I love that. Yeah, look, you know, talk to us about a barter situation. Talk to us about an alliance so that more people get drawn in, for sure.
For sure.
Well, that's awesome. Tim, anybody that goes to my Facebook page can see that my timeline photo is your Creative Alliance at the Patterson Theater page. So all the information is right there on my Facebook. So you need look no further if you're coming to the Baltimore area, and a lot of folks are coming from Philly and D.C. and Virginia for this, so get ready for a sold-out house this coming Sunday.
Oh, wow. Well, beautiful, and I appreciate you doing that. Thank you so much.
Oh, you're so welcome, and thank you. You just get yourself back to what you need to get back to, and thank you for the time. You're wonderful.
I thank you so much, and I look forward to seeing you on Sunday.
You certainly will, and tell Joanna, please, to wear her green shoes. That's all I'm going to say.
Okay. Okay, I'll be sure to pass that information along.
Okay. Thanks, Tim.
All right. All right, thank you.
Bye-bye.
All right, bye-bye.
Tim Warfield, yes. Let's play a second song from that Tim Warfield's Jazzy Christmas CD, shall we? Oh, my. You know that if I go on about a particular musical project, sometimes I go on, and now we have an addendum to the going on, because this is the real deal, as I can't really describe. If you are a lover of, for lack of a better term, straight-ahead jazz, and you like the idea that some of these beloved treasures in the holiday tradition are kept, but with little twerks here and there and solos and the breathtaking vocals that you'll hear, this is for you. This is why the New York Times loves it so. Hybrid Jazz from Trish Hennessy. Let it snow, let it snow, let it snow. From Tim Warfield and Company.
Oh, the weather outside is frightful, but the fire is so delightful. It seems we've no place to go. Let it snow, let it snow, let it snow. It doesn't show signs of stopping, and I brought some corn for popping. The lights are turned way down low. Let it snow, let it snow, let it snow. When we finally kiss goodnight, how I'll hate going out in the storm. But if you really hold me tight, all the way home I'll be warm. The fire is slowly dying, but my dear, we're still goodbying. Love me so, let it snow, let it snow, let it snow. Thank you. but the fire is so delightful. Since we've no place to go, let it snow, let it snow, let it snow. It doesn't show signs of stopping, and I brought some corn for firing. Lights are turned way down low. Let it snow, let it snow, let it snow. When we finally kiss goodnight, how I'll hate going out in the storm. But if you really hold me tight, on the way home I'll be warm. The fire is slowly dying, but my dear, we're still goodbye. As long as you love me so, let it snow, let it snow, let it snow.
Do love to play on that stage. I am just going to tell you ahead of time, if you plan to see Tim Warfield's Jazzy All-Star Christmas, especially coming to the Baltimore area next Sunday, the 22nd, two shows, 4 o'clock and 6:30, so it's nice and early. You have time to get back home and relax a little bit with the kids or with one another, have a little dinner. It's just a beautiful venue, the Creative Alliance of the Patterson Theater, retooled, renewed, revamped, ready to go. Terrell Stafford, Cyrus Chestnut, Clarence Penn, Stefan Harris, Rodney Whitaker, and Joanna Pascal. Oh, yes. And we, now that we are here on this first ever hybrid holiday open house, here on Hybrid Jazz from Trish Hennessy, have another guest, and I believe that I know who this is, but one never assumes. 804 area code, enter and sign in, please. Hello, is this Angelicia?
Yes, it is.
Hey, Angelicia L. Rogers, the trumpetist, the girl who just rocked BET's Black Girls Rock. Come on now.
How are you?
I am doing fabulous. How are you, my friend? It's so good for you to call, and you were enjoying that music, weren't you?
It was great, man. That's awesome stuff.
I almost
forgot I was on hold. I was just listening to the music like, wow.
I know. Yeah, I'll tell you what, Angelicia, Tim Warfield just spent 15 minutes with us, and he is artist in residence at Messiah College. So he doesn't really have the time, but he thought it was important enough to just say a few words about the show coming up. Oh, my gosh. If you could come up and join us in Baltimore, that would be awesome. You're not that far away, right?
I'm not. When is the show?
This coming Sunday. Two shows, 4 o'clock and then 6:30. Yep, 6:30. And, man, it's just going to be really cool because the venue is sublime. And you heard mm-hmm. the folks that are going to be there. So,
nice.
Man, yes, it would be awesome. What are you doing? Tell us what's happening with the amazing Ms. Rogers.
Well, I am just working hard.
Are you?
Working hard. I am. It's hard out here, guys. But it's a matter of the heart and what you're dedicated to do, and I love music, and I am determined to do it. So just working hard, trying to prepare some things to release a project soon.
Oh, great.
Hopefully within the next year or so, that would be out. You know, trying to get some things together to launch my website. You know, just really working hard and trying to prepare and organize some things.
Well, here's the question that I need to ask, and I want to certainly keep this positive, although the conversation that surrounds this particular topic could go in a couple of different ways. Having talked to Cindy Bradley at length about the fact that she chose the trumpet eventually. She went kicking and screaming into it when she was a little girl. She didn't really want the trumpet, but she got it and she did really well. And she found within her neighborhoods in upstate New York a wonderful situation in that there was a mentor who got these young kids together and formed this group whereby they would play the sounds of jazz from the 30s and 40s. Angelica, what was it? Yes, it was really cool. What was it that compelled you to choose the trumpet, or did the trumpet choose you?
I think it's kind of a little bit of both. I'm a church girl. I grew up, you know, in church. My grandfather was a minister. My grandmother was a minister. I mean, you know, the routine. Get up, we're going to church. So as a child, we grew up Church of God in Christ, and the headquarters of that is in Memphis, Tennessee. So I think I was somewhere around 8 years old, and we went to the National Convention in Memphis, Tennessee. We're at the Midnight Musical, the Friday Night Musical. I'm sitting here, you know, barely able to see over the little barrier, and I'm watching, I'm peeking. And this older lady gets up. I don't remember her name right now, but I see her face so clearly in my head. She gets up with her trumpet, and she goes up there, and she plays I'll Fly Away.
Wow.
You know, some glad morning when this life is over, I'll fly away. She plays that song, and I mean, she just, I was sitting there with my eyes big, and I reached over to my grandfather, and I was like, Papa, I want one of those. I want one of those. and as church kids, we had, you know, we were singing, and, you know, he had us dueling around the piano a little bit, you know, and doing different things. So we were exposed to music. But when I saw that, I was like, that's what I want, you know. And so,
how about it?
You know, well, time went by, and then we got ready for school, and they introduced the instruments. And I'm like, no, I'm playing the trumpet. That's what I want. And so that's what I got. And, I mean, it kind of grew from there. I was terrible. I really was. It was so bad. I was like, this kid's too skinny. She can't breathe. Oh, my God, her teeth are missing. Like, what are we doing? What are we doing? Like, you know, it took a lot of adjustment. But when I finally got it, you know, I just kind of grabbed it and ran with it. And I've been playing ever since.
That is so funny. That was your joy when you were a little girl, and you were determined to see it through. And now, look, you are really garnering a lot of praise, and people are talking about you in the best ways. It's really like a snowball gaining momentum. You feel it? Do you feel it?
I do, and it's just a blessing, you know, because, you know, I mentioned my grandparents, and if you ever hear me talk about my story in music, they're going to be, I mean, you're going to hear them all the time. I mean, you know, my grandfather, so supportive, my grandmother, number one fan. I was laughing with my mother about this the other day, you know, every competition, every high school event, I mean, just about every time I put the horn to my lips, Spraggins was right there. My grandmother, right there. You know, it was just amazing. You know, and that stuff that I remember, you know, because they're going on, and that stuff that I remember now, and it just, you know, everybody gets those frustrated moments where I just want to take the horn and throw it somewhere. But I remember that it's a bigger purpose to what I do, and it's
right.
A part of who I am, you know?
Yep. Yep, and you've got it's, you know, for many of us, it's not just something that you need to do because you were persuaded emotionally, passionately to do it when you were a little kid. And so many times we understand that when we gravitate to something when we're little, that's what we're supposed to do. But it's even more because, you know, I know that you view this as a ministry. So how could
Absolutely.
It possibly not grow in momentum and go forward because you were supposed to do this.
Absolutely, yeah. And, I mean, that's exactly it. And, you know, I look at, you know, my academic career and now going into my actual career and different things like that, and I see, you know, the rocks in the boat and the cracks and the, you know, and it's like I was talking to a friend of mine about this yesterday. It's crazy because this lets me know that, like you said, it is a ministry and it is something deeper because every single time that I, in myself, was like, I'm over it, I'm done, I'm going to be normal and just get a regular job and I'm over it, you know, it would always be something that I would see or someone that would come by at that right moment or something would happen and it would just be like, girl, now you know we cannot put this horn down, you know, and it's always been like that, you know. I experienced a lot of challenges with my health, even going through school and different things like that. And I mean, it was tremendous, up and down. But it's like through it all, ways were always made, you know. And so now I'm at this point where I'm building and things are starting to come together, and I'm in just as much awe as people who see me, because it's like, wow, I literally remember a few years ago laying down and barely being able to talk above a whisper because I had surgery. You know?
Really?
So it's amazing, you know?
Oh, see, you're giving me a rush here because we have talked about this, but you are someone who understands. Our ways are nothing compared to the ways that he has in mind for us. And if we understand that, happiness comes to our door in ways that we couldn't have comprehended in our own mind. But he brings us out of what we're going through in order to give him glory. And I know that you have that in mind because that's who you are. So doors are going to keep on opening for you, Angelicia. I'm telling you, 2014 is going to be monumental. You know that, don't you?
Thank you. I do. I'm going to make sure that happens.
Yes, I know. It's just, it feels like this page is turning. And, man, I related to you so much when you said, and I didn't have the illness that you had or felt in poor health, but any time that there was any discouragement in what I was doing and thought, I wonder if I should just delve into something more. You just popped it for me right there. Suddenly, something would happen that was an answer that I was supposed to focus on this show. So I hear that loud and clear. Man.
Yeah.
Awesome stuff.
It's amazing, right?
it is. And to try to explain that to someone who hasn't taken a particular walk, if you don't necessarily understand but can feel that the conversation, if somebody's listening to us right now and can feel this conversation, there's just no doubt in my mind that it gets taken to a different level when there have been two people who really want to be faithful to God's will. And that's it.
Yeah. Yeah, that's it.
That's it. Woo! So when you say that you are seeing a new project come your way, is it concrete? Is it an idea? Are there things on paper that suggest that we could really see this in 2014? What do you think?
Well, I have some original tunes that I've written for the project. And so basically I'll put it like this. It's coming. I just don't have a concrete time frame to give you. But it's definitely coming.
I hear
coming.
You.
The world The world needs to hear this stuff, man.
Oh, listen to that. Whoa. So you have self-penned songs, and that's cool. Any chance that the illustrious artists that you were with on Black Girls Rock, do you think that maybe some of those beautiful ladies will be able to come on board and maybe make some music together? Who do you have in mind? Anybody etched in stone with you?
That's not etched in stone yet. Still kind of working on that. But I'm praying that it does come through.
Well, I think you should make a call to Clora Bryant and see what see what's up.
Yeah.
Wouldn't that be cool?
Yeah.
Oh,
man. Beautiful soul. I really enjoyed doing my thesis research on her. I learned so much from her. You know, just having... you know, the honor of speaking with her on the phone and just being able to be honored with her time. It was great.
Can you imagine, Angelicia, can you imagine that time, South Central, in L.A., when there were so many artists in the Los Angeles area who would just come and gather this beautiful community of people who were uplifting one another so that they could be heard. She was on Cool Jazz Conversations when I was co-hosting that show a couple of years ago, and she just
went
poetic. You do?
I do remember. That was actually during the time when I was doing my research on her, so I was right there listening.
Man, she was so awesome, and I don't know how her health is. Maybe you would know, but... It just seems to be logical to bring her in to any project now. If she can play or she can't play, I don't think that she can, but it would just fill her soul to know that you are doing this.
Yeah. Yeah, that would be awesome. I would be, like, so honored to do that.
I would just love it, and I'll have to keep reminding you to get in touch, or maybe if there's an opportunity, maybe I could have her on Hybrid Jazz and have you come on at the same time so that she could know her powerful influence on you. How did you first know about Clora? Because she's one of those pioneers, man.
Right.
She really is.
I'm gonna tell you the story. I have a lot of stories, but they're true. Like, I promise. Anyway, I'm going to grad school, you know, and it's like, you know, kind of feeling the challenges and the burn of it. So I'm in this research seminar class, and I decide, you know what, I'm going to do my project on a woman, a black woman, that's done what I'm trying to do. It has to be one out there. So I went to Google, and that's literally what I put in, black woman trumpet player. And, you know, a whole bunch of pictures popped up, and I saw, it was this photo of her. She was young, and she had her hair cut in like a bob and her bang, and she's leaning up against her trumpet, and it was just a gorgeous photo. And so I'm like, who is this? Oh, my God. You know, something about that photo just grabbed me. So I saw more information. I saw her name, Clora Bryant, typed it in, and then all this stuff came up. You know, all these different things came up. And I just started sifting through it, and I saw the book. It's a book that she wrote, Central Avenue Sounds, that she kind of did a chapter in. You know, it was like a collection of accounts by different musicians and stuff. So she did a chapter in that book. So I ordered the book, and when I got the book, I looked in it, and in her portion, she gave acknowledgments to her son and her family and all of that. And Facebook is the best creation ever, so I looked them up. And that's how it went.
That's so cool.
It was really great because that taught me a lot, being a student. And being, you know, an aspiring musician and somebody who is very interested in things, it taught me so much about things that I had never even considered or had happened, you know?
Really? I mean, really? Like,
Like it's a whole history to women big bands and jazz and stuff like that. And I mean, before her, the only female musician, actual musician and not singer that I had heard of was Mary Lou Williams and Melba Liston. I had heard of Melba Liston.
Oh,
but,
man.
You know, I didn't know, you know, and so that opened me up to a whole world. I mean, it's groups out there, it's books, it's pictures, it's all kind of rich history, you know, that I was exposed to by meeting her. And, I mean, I had the honor of, you know, connecting with other artists and other musicians and even being able to interview and speak to some musicians who have since passed on, you know. So that's a big honor for me, you know,
yeah,
to know that I'm a piece of that, you know. And I had the honor of at least saying, hi, I enjoyed your music, if that's all they heard from me, you know.
Yes, yes. You know, I have to say this because, gosh, Clara Bryant is 86 now. 86. Now,
yes,
this has been a subject for conversation a lot on the show. And, gosh, even before, like years ago when I was doing research for jazz in another endeavor. But can you imagine, I mean, this is an African-American woman who not only survived but thrived in times that dictated that was not easy. Now,
right,
we had a lot of black jazz male players going over to Europe because conditions frequently were intolerable here for black musicians to play during times of Jim Crow. But mm-hmm, we don't touch on what it could have been for black females. We don't talk
right
about that as much. Can you imagine the sometimes feeling of, I'll put it out there, degradation or humiliation, mm-hmm, at least a lack of respect? And she sailed through all of that. That's strength of character right there.
One of the things that stick out in my brain the most throughout all of our interviews, throughout all of the time, you know, that I was able to talk to her and learn from her and things like this. Remember we were talking, and she said, I don't care nothing about that. Girl, they used to try to get fresh on me, and I would toot my little head up and keep tipping. That's what she said. And that's what she said.
Oh, my God.
To me, that says so much because, first of all, it's a strength. It's a strength and fortitude, like, to be able to actually get through something. It takes a very special type of strength to do that.
Oh, yeah.
And it takes even more strength to do it without confrontation.
Yes. Yes.
You know? And, I mean, it's like, you know, we hear different things about musicians who they've had to deal with pressures and they resort to drugs or different things like that. And you know, and it's understandable because, hey, it's life. You know, people deal with things differently. I'm not dumbing that down or saying anything ill against that. I'm just saying, like, it happened. And to me, it said a simple strength where her thing was, okay, took myself up and I go on. If I go in the next room and do whatever I do, that's what I do. But I was already determined. She was already determined mentally. This is something I'm going to do, and I'm going to do it. You know, and so that
yeah
said a lot to me through, just like you said, everything that was going on. I mean, it was a time, you know, segregation was going on. Not only that, then they were going through times with, you know, the discriminations against women, period, regardless of your race.
Definitely, yeah.
It. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? So it's like she had two blows, you know what I'm saying? But and one thing that my research really focused on was the fact that she used her resources and you know, her personality in different things to really craft a beautiful career. And although it may not have been everything, you know what I'm saying, that she might have hoped for, she has really carved out a legacy for herself. And I am just like, you know, it's amazing to see that and to see one day I can be 86 years old. And you know what I'm saying? Like, it's amazing to see that is a possibility if you just keep pushing and if you just don't allow things to bug your headspace, you know?
That sense of self, and that's the bottom line. When you have that strong sense of self, it's clear that nothing is going to get in your way. Now, you know, Clara Bryant may have had that training by parents or one parent or a mentor when she was young, or it may have been that something happened to her when she was little that she had such fortitude. In any case, the fortitude is the important fact. She didn't look to the left, she didn't look to the right. She moved mm-hmm. forward, and she was, from the accounts that I have read, treated with respect by the menfolk around her because mm-hmm. she did not tolerate it otherwise. And there is a strong vibe that women can send out. And, you know, Angelicia, it's ridiculous to even have to talk about this in 2013 to try to
right.
foster all this because, you know, you and I have heard all of the stuff that we've heard. Oh, well, you have to let the men know that they won because that's how you get into the game. No, dude, no. Not going to happen that way, okay? Because you've got your talents. Doesn't matter what kind of equipment that you have when you bring into the game. Your talent stands in and of yourself. And it's because of people like Clara Bryant who have paved the way to get rid of the nonsense. So, man, we just love her, don't we?
Yeah, I do.
And you know who's in the chat room? Charmaine Michelle, ladies and gentlemen. She's in the chat room. Hey, Charmaine. Charmaine, if you want to call, 323-843-6172. We might as well make this a party. Come on, y'all. That is, I'm so tickled that you did your paper on that and that you had such zeal for someone so formidable. 86 years old. Man, that is mm-hmm. crazy, isn't it?
It is. Phew. It's amazing. And see, one thing, too, that I that really inspired me about that project or that I liked, you know, I had the honor of having my great-grandparents in my life. My great-grandmother lived to be 100 years old. My great-grandfather
wow.
was 95, 96. You know, I've met some of, well, my great-grandfather, I've met his sisters. You know what I'm saying? Older, their cousins, like, I know them. The older people in my family, I had known them, you know, and not just, oh, I remember you. Like, I have very vivid memories of them. So the beauty about being able to speak to her and any of the older musicians like that, I mean, it's great, and it means a lot to me, you know, coming from that type of upbringing. And it's like, you know, I can really understand where they're coming from and follow, and it just means a lot to me because I've realized that these are precious gems, you know, in our communities and in our culture that we're not going to get back once they're gone. So for yeah. me to, you know, even have been able to talk to her on the phone, you know, it's huge, you know.
Well, I'm just so tickled that there is a seemingly renewed sense of camaraderie in the community and in different kinds of circles within the community as far as music is concerned. And I think one of those factors is that you, Angelicia, and so many others who are pursuing music, especially jazz right now, had the opportunity when you were little to pick up an instrument. And that is so crucial, and we're finding out now how important that is. What administrators or people who are in politics, who are decision makers, had thought was superficial or frivolous, now they are seeing that it is integral to a peaceful society to have music mm-hmm. on the same page as math and English. So mm-hmm. I think somebody who can speak on that is on the phone. She really did. She decided to pick up the phone and call. Is this Charmaine?
Hey, how you doing?
Hey, girl.
It's a party.
Oh, my. It really is. And I know, because it just happened that Angelicia was just talking about this, and it seemed like one subject could lead into another. You can speak on this because you've had expertise and you've got kids, and I know that you are conscious of music education or lack thereof in schools. You want to touch on this?
Yeah, I think it's very, very important. Actually, yeah, I have a master's degree in curriculum and instruction as well, and I'm in the process of applying actually to Johns Hopkins for my PhD in education, and they have a wonderful program that they just got a grant on about brain-based research and art education.
Wow.
My personal feeling, I'm really into the cognitive studies in terms of how our brains process information. And what the research over at Hopkins is, and just, you know, just being a homeschooler myself, is that a lot of people focus on the information that's going in the brain, such as, you know, science and technology, but they never focus on how do you develop the brain to process that information. And what they are finding over there and what their research is focused on is how the music stimulates our brain to better process information. And so I just find that arts education is very important, not only, you know, for the purpose of developing the brain. I was a big baby Einstein person when I was homeschooling my kids. You know, I took my daughter, I bought, you know, I'm assigned my, you know, their father is also a doctor who did research, and we were all into the science stuff, and our kids were basically guinea pigs. And we were into the baby Einstein, the baby Mozart, because as they said, Mozart's music stimulates the brain. And then on the flip side, when I was at Peabody, I took a creative leadership class with Dan Trahey, who is the director for ORCID. And while looking at arts education in terms of, you know, developing a brain cognitively, there also is a social element to it, because ORCID use something called the La Sistema Project, or La Sistema System, which was based, I think, in Venezuela or something like that, where they use art as a means of social development, because I think art help with, like, collaborative stuff. Like, it's not just about the music. No, maybe one day they won't grow up to be a Freddie Hubbard or Beyonce, but what music does is teach children collaborative skills and values. Like, I know,
yes,
for me personally, being at a predominantly white school where in the South, kind of South, it's Northern Virginia, where you had a lot of, you know, racism and all types of isms down there, music was our chance to put our differences aside and work collaboratively to create something beautiful. And then you,
yes,
had a hierarchy. You learned the skills of work ethic, of fortitude. And those are the things,
mm-hmm,
that come from music. And you learn history. And I'm big about that. That's why I personally love jazz history, because while it's important kids know, you know, it's cool you're into your Nicki Minaj, you're cool into your Beyonce's, but what about the complete history of black performance in America? I think black,
mm-hmm,
kids do need to be connected to that history.
Oh,
definitely. Sorry.
And no, look, seriously, and white kids need to be connected to that history, too. And beyond that, I mean, we've talked about this a time or two, because I know Angelicia, and I know Charmaine, you know Joy Hall, and we've talked about Joy's role at the Reginald F. Lewis Museum in Baltimore. And honestly, several years ago, there were ideas being tossed around. My God, you talk about music being a forum for all different kinds of kids to lay your differences aside.
Yes.
You know, everybody needs to know the roots of music. Everybody,
mm-hmm,
needs to know about black history. So I think that white kids should be bussed into the Reginald F. Lewis Museum and, you know, learn about history that is not what we have learned growing up in our completely erroneous history books. I mean, we were lied to for so long. It's like, Woo! It's like this big veil has been uncovered from our eyes because nobody wants to get to the truth of what happened in the United States. Kids need to learn what's real and what is the truth, the history about music, the history of this country, so that they can form these intelligent decisions and get away from the stuff and I'm being polite when I say stuff. What we as parents have learned that were lies that have been passed on to my son and to your children, Charmaine, it's got to be erased. And we've got to get really tough now on people who we elect as officials to make sure that they hear us. And it's not just a whimper. It's got to be a shout now, because we've got to get music and all that it implies back into the classroom. We can't wait for this.
Yes.
Our kids are being injured. What you just said about cognitive development and the resources to be able to learn, why are their eyes closed to this? I mean, it's more than just getting all of those deadbeats out of Congress in 2014. We've got to be adamant about what we want to build a better world, if not in the United States, then all over the globe. But it has to start here because people pay attention to what's happening in the States. So there I've said my piece.
Yes, that's very interesting.
It's very true.
I mean, that's very, because I was a lobbyist on Capitol Hill for a little while, and so I've noticed like the political process, been a part of the political process, not only in the government but also in corporate America. Like, how do decision makers make their decisions? And it really comes down to the squeaky wheel gets the most oil,
right?
Like, wherever
right.
I work, and that's the problem. Like, even with like jazz, you have very what do you call it? Very cerebral people who come up with these innovative ideas, but they need the relationships to become advocates, I believe. And I think that's why you have these information silos. That's what we call it in corporate America, where people, you know, information is separated because you become so specialized and you don't necessarily build the relationships necessary to advocate your cause. And, you know, our education, you know, having to advocate for that's something really new, because, you know, prior to the 80s, it was just known that, you know, arts would be in the school. And so I think the arts world and arts education world was sort of thrown for a loop in terms of knowing how to advocate for themselves. Even jazz musicians today, how do you compete with the pop world? Like, what do you need? Because, you know, when you've been winning for a while and then all of a sudden, you know, there's a paradigm shift where you have to get new skill sets. It definitely is a challenge, and I think more and more people are recognizing that arts education needs, and we need to be able to articulate why arts education is important. Like, we already know intuitively music is fun, but how do you communicate that when people are pushing technology and how we need to be able to compete with, and that's really what it comes down to a lot, too, is that education is about competing with China and stuff like that. And, you know, there's a lot of politics involved, I think, with arts education. Like, they still, people need to advocate for it in a very intelligent way that politicians understand. And,
Yes. And God bless you. No, I didn't know where this was going to go when I asked you the question. I'm so happy. here's the thing: the balance is missing. That is what it's crucial, because if you don't have the artistic side as well as the technical side, then we are raising cold-blooded zombie idiots in America. And that can't happen, because we already had quite enough of them. Thank you.
Yes.
You know, We really have to go back to the drawing board and listen, having worked at QVC for 3 years, I know that squeaky wheel gets the grease because I was involved
yes.
in customer service. When anybody called with a complaint, guess what? It was the same thing there as what I learned in radio. For every person with a complaint or who had something intelligent to say that made you think twice, that person was the voice for 100 or more people who were thinking the same thing and didn't call.
Exactly. So. And then when it comes to politics, you know, just in like Baltimore and stuff like that, who's funding the campaigns? And oftentimes artists are broke. So, like, you know, they're pushing a lot of tech stuff because the Bill Gates of the world, the Zuckerbees of the world have the money to pay for campaigns. And that's the challenge that I think as advocates have. They don't have the money to really advocate because, you know, like, you know, the mayor or somebody comes and says, hey, we want a deal to put flat-screen TVs in all your schools, and this would be great and all this other stuff, you know, but because they have money to push that idea and concept, they usually are the ones that win over the arts because arts advocates don't usually have the same amount of money to invest in campaigns also.
Well, though, if you pique the interest of those who have the money, and let
yeah.
me tell you something, Charmaine, that's what I've been trying to do for the past few years because, honestly, for all of us, it just takes one particular inroad, an idea
mm-hmm.
that sparks someone with the money and the means to make it happen. You know, this radio show needs to be a full-time commercial hybrid jazz radio station. When that happens, it will be a catalyst for more because that particular endeavor will make money. And, yes, that is the reason for all of it. If something makes money or it draws people in who have the money to make it happen, that's how anything is done in the United States of America.
Amen.
Totally.
Wu-Tang said it best. Cash rules everything around me. I mean, it is.
Yes. Yes, yes, yes. And, you know, you can change a whole lot, but you got to come prepared. You got to
mm-hmm.
come correct and understand that money, and you can view that negatively if you will, but we have to start viewing that as positive. And we have
mm-hmm.
to fight the negative power with positive power, saying, okay,
yes.
if that's the way the game is played, then let's do this. And entice somebody who's got the means to happen to change the game plan. And then all of a sudden, you and Angelica are the flavors of the week.
and speaking of money, I have to go back to work. So I appreciate you, ladies. Thank you for inviting me on.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Thank you. Thanks, Charmaine.
Yay. All right. Bye, Angelica.
Bye.
Oh, that was fun, and that was necessary. Angelica, we've got a lot of work
yeah.
cut out for us in 2014, don't we?
Yes, ma'am, we do.
Well, I'm going to, if you don't mind, I know you won't, I am going to pray for you and your musical project because I've seen some situations where I've gotten glimpses of you, and I know what you are capable of, and you are rocking. You are the trumpetess, and I just want to see you come into full favor and full fruition, and that may happen sooner rather than later. So
Amen.
Maybe we can speed up this process, you think?
Yes.
What would you like to see happening in 2014 besides this CD come to pass and things all falling into place? What would you like to wish for you and for other people in 2014?
Oh, man, this is going to sound corny, but I mean it. Good health.
I know you do. Yes.
You know, love, peace, lessons, development, growth, you know? All of those things are very essential. I'm learning, you know, as I've gotten, you know, it's like as a kid, or, you know, and it's natural. kid, I always looked at things and was like, oh, my God, I can't wait to be grown up. It's going to be great. I want to be grown up. You can do whatever I want. And then I got here, and it's like, well, this is hard.
Right,
you know?
Right.
Like, what in the world was I thinking about? You know? But it's just I'm learning how essential just very small things are, you know, to our development. People wake up every day, and it's like you wake up, and it's like, okay, I go through my routine. I brush my teeth. I do this. I do that. Bam. And sometimes I just sit and think, like when I'm going through some issues with my health, my stomach, and I just sit and think, it's somebody in the world that literally can't sit up out of bed.
That's right.
It's somebody in the world that can't look over and say, good morning. It's somebody
That's right.
in the world that can't wiggle their toes or, you know, can't do these very simple things. So health, I mean, you know, it's something that people who have it, we don't even think about. But I'm realizing how important that is and how important it is to have a peaceful mind. It's people in the world that are walking around tormented in their heads like, oh my
amen.
God. You know what I'm saying? It's people in the world
yeah.
that don't have anybody, don't have anything. They can't grow. They can't develop. They're stunted, you know. So that's what I wish for myself. For everyone that I come in contact with, everyone that, you know, I may not come in contact with, I want people to be able to be healthy and peaceful and you know, be able to grow and develop.
Beautiful. That is the best wish ever, because anything else to wish for is absolutely secondary. What you just said, health and peace of mind. So that you
mm-hmm.
are fully aware of your place in the world and the fact that some people, the important people, love you and that you are able to get out of bed. Maybe you can't do as somebody I know actually does this. One foot is out of bed. She says thank you. The other foot is out
mm-hmm.
of bed. She says thank you again. And she's grateful
mm-hmm.
all the way to the bathroom. So
that's right.
You
it's
know,
important.
It is. We need to express way more gratitude for what we have. We might not feel as if we have everything that we need or want in this world, but we better be grateful for what we do have in order for us to possibly entertain the notion of getting more. You are dead on. God bless
yeah.
you. Woo!
Thank
that's a,
you.
That's a good wish.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, look, here's what I want you to promise. When
okay.
that scenario is more concrete and you can see the forest for the trees about the CD, you come back
mm-hmm.
on the show and we'll just hang and then we'll play tracks from the CD and bring on some folks if you want to who are part of the CD or not. It'll be just you and me and you can shout it from the rooftops that you are grateful
totally.
For your debut.
Yes, that sounds amazing.
That would be great. And I think that it's wonderful that you were involved with all of these ladies on Black Girls Rock, and there's going to be more situations like that, I believe, for you. So
yes,
you've got this authenticity, Angelisha, and an honesty about you, and we really need more of that. So All good things come to those who believe, and you're going to see some mountains that you're going to climb easily this next year. So
thank
there.
You.
You're welcome.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Listen, have a wonderful and safe and healthy and peaceful holiday season, and let's stay connected. Is that cool?
Definitely. Yes.
All right. That's great. Angelisha L. Rogers in the house, everybody.
I have a treat for you. Can I share my treat?
You do?
I do.
You really do? Oh, would you give us the treat? Please.
I will give you a treat. This is
okay.
from my heart to you. Ha 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 Merry Christmas, everyone.
Angelicia, you just made me teary. That was beautiful. Thank you so much. Oh, my God, you really did it. You really did. Oh,
I told you I would. I keep my promise.
You sure do. And I was half kidding when I suggested this on Facebook yesterday, but you just delivered. That was beautiful. This is going to be real special for folks who listen in the archives who didn't hear the show live and have a chance at 4 o'clock to hear that. That was just stunning. God bless you, girl. Here's my virtual hug to you from across the miles.
Oh, thanks. I feel it. Yes.
Oh, you are something else. I can't wait to talk to you again. We'll keep in touch and see if we can make things happen to speed up more Angelicia music in 2014.
Yes, ma'am. Thank you so much. Have a great, happy holidays.
Thank you so much, and the same to you, and we'll speak again.
All right.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Angelicia Rogers, she just thrilled my soul right there. Oh, that was beautiful. I hope you felt that too. Woo! Nothing like a female trumpet player. Let me just tell you that, all right? And nothing like a legend doing the saxophone. Let's do a little break from chatter here and play a 13-and-a-half-minute version of one of the greats of all time, John Coltrane. My Favorite Things on Hybrid Jazz from Trish Hennessy. This is Hybrid Jazz.
Thank you. Noel, the angels did say, was to Satan for shepherds in fields where they lay. In fields where they lay, keeping their sheep on a cold winter's night that was so deep. Noel, 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 born is the King of Israel. Noel, 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 born is the King of Israel. Noel, Noel, Noel,
Noel, Noel, Noel, Noel, Noel, Noel, Noel, Noel, Noel, Noel, Noel, Noel, Noel, Noel, Noel, Noel, Noel, Noel, Noel, Noel, Noel, Noel, Noel, Noel, Noel, Noel, Noel, Noel, Noel, Noel, Noel, Noel, Noel, Noel, Noel, Noel, Noel, Noel, Noel, Noel, Noel, Noel, Noel, Noel, Noel, Noel, Noel, Noel, Noel, Noel, Noel, Noel, Noel, Noel, Noel, Noel, Noel, Noel, Noel, Noel, Noel, Noel, Noel, Noel, Noel, Noel, Noel, Noel, Noel, Noel, Noel, Noel, Noel, Noel, Noel, Noel, Noel, Noel, Noel, Noel, Noel, Noel, Noel, Noel, Noel, Noel, Noel, Noel, Noel, Noel, Noel, Noel, Noel, Noel, No
man, that, what can I call Jonathan Butler, that artist, that messenger of divinity, that instrument of heaven, that beautiful soul just about does me in every time I feel his soul come through on a song, and certainly right there. Merry Christmas to you, and of course the first Noel, as only Jonathan Butler can do with a guitar in his hand. You need very little else, don't you? And look, here is what I have to tell you about what Jonathan Butler and Tim Warfield have in common, and Stanley Clarke for that matter. It's very much an anticipated situation each year when the New York Times decides that they are casting their fate to the wind, as it were. Not really. After much research, they determine who is awesome in the way of music, etc. So they make a New York Times recommended list for the holiday season. So Jonathan Butler's Merry Christmas to You, Tim Warfield's Jazzy Christmas, and Stanley Clarke, who made a sizable contribution production-wise to Best Men Holiday, are all on the recommended list from the New York Times this year. So congratulations to all very deserving of getting those props. Jonathan is in California tonight, then Texas, then Arizona, then California again, and his last date for a show before Christmas is on the 22nd, oddly enough, in the Warfield Theater in San Francisco. Everything is related to everything else, isn't it? Oh, man. We also heard Mannheim Steamroller. Woo! Christmas in the Air from 1995. Chip Davis and Jackson Berkey founded this group back in the 70s. And, man, you talk about a success story. Over 28 million records sold in the United States alone. What you heard is called Patapan, which is a French carol with Burgundian dialect, and Mannheim Steamroller, the actual name, is from 18th century German musical technique that Chip Davis thought was very cool. And Chip Davis, in case you don't know about him, composer and producer, and the brainchild behind an advertising executive back in the day, a couple of decades ago now, named Bill Fries, becoming C.W. McCall and gaining a few million dollars himself with all the country hits he had. They were on the radio. Oh, my God, if you know that song Convoy, you know it made a passel of money. That deep narrative voice that Bill Fries had, it was just beautiful. Hopefully he's still with us. I have to do some research on that. Mannheim Steamroller and John Coltrane doing Rodgers and Hammerstein's, yes, Song from the Sound of Music, My Favorite Things, which was, as the host of the documentary, The World According to John Coltrane, said, he changed this song into a hypnotic Eastern dervish dance. He certainly did. By that time, Coltrane, in 1961 now, was all about modal music. He was all about infiltrating some Indian influences into his music. He had Steve Davis with him, McCoy Tyner, and Elvin Jones. That particular project did so well. I don't have to tell you. If you're a Coltrane fan, you already know. Listen, we have another guest on the horn for this hybrid holiday open house, and I think it would just be the cat's meow if we were to play the song that she is doing first. It's a 2-minute, 46-second little ditty. I love it. I love the video. It's just the right flavor to play today. It's what everybody's thinking, but nobody had the chutzpah to put it into song except my buddy, Debbie Kirkland. Let's play Back Off, Santa, on Hybrid Jazz.
Seven days to Christmas and I'm falling behind. A million things to do think I'm losing my mind. Why don't you back off, Santa, and hold off, Rudolph? Back off, Santa, maybe come a little later this year. Training cards and packages, a list of her ends, the dinners and the parties with my family and friends. Why don't you back off, Santa?
Who keep telling me this is a last-minute gift. I'll give you a last-minute gift right here. Hey, I'll tell you when last minute is. December 24th at 5:30, okay? That's last minute. Ladies and gentlemen, please make welcome the courageous soul who recorded that song. I love it. And apparently Griselda loves it too. Debbie Kirkland, how are you?
I'm great, and you are so right and in the spirit.
Oh, Debbie, doesn't it make you crazy? I know that was the inspiration for this song. I mean to tell you, we were hearing about last-minute Christmas shopping a few days ago, and it's pulling in a little bit more every year. It's really making me mad.
This year I was in Costco in September,
yes.
And there was Christmas, and I couldn't believe it, and I said, this is why this song is so relevant. It comes earlier and earlier, and I understand the economy, and I understand people's bottom lines, but, you know, you don't hear about CEOs losing money. You only hear about the poor schmucks like us. So bottom line
That's
is
right.
Sometimes you just got to, you know, honor the fact that it's supposed to be between November 25th and January 1st, and that's good enough, but they don't want to do it. And the other part of it is I created the video because – I always looked forward, and I love my children dearly, but I looked forward to December 26th because I was inundated with, you know, buying the gifts for everybody and dealing with the social calendar for the family and making sure that the meals were prepared, and, of course, they were at my house. And I was exhausted. Christmas, I could cry. I could literally cry because there was so much on me. But I just knew that I wasn't by myself, and all my other friends were feeling that way, and so I just wanted to give the moms out there, all the moms and the caregivers that are handling Christmas, a little Christmas smile that lasts for 2 minutes and 46 seconds, and for the video, 3 minutes and 1 second.
Oh, my God, the video is such a hoot. Oh, I love that video because it's got one of those what is the terminology to use when it looks kind of old school? It looks like Lucy Arnaz. This actress is so phenomenal. Oh my God!
Well, that you hit the nail on the head. When I was thinking about what that character should be, initially it was going to be me, but I the gentleman that wrote the song, Joe DeCara, and I were talking about it, and I'm like, you know, I can see me in this dress, and it's like this high collar, like Lucille Ball, because I just loved her and her energy, and I've been equated to her quite a few times, so I really feel a kindred spirit with Lucy and Lucille Ball, you know, the character and the icon. But I was like, you know, I want to cast this family that's kind of going crazy. And so when we held the auditions, this woman walks in, and she was so spot on. She was reading my mind before I could tell her what I was looking for. She was doing it, and I was like, you're it. You're it. So it was supposed to be Laura Petrie from the Dick Van Dyke Show. You remember? Meets Lucille Ball. That's in my mind, when I was casting for this, that's what I saw. And so that's what Leanna Fry, brilliant Leanna Fry, brought to the table, and we were all in love with her, and she was amazing. And so there was so much talent that came to fruition with just casting and hiring for the video itself. So it started with Joe DeCara going, hey, I wrote this Christmas song. Joe, I know you're listening. Shout out to Joe. And he's like, I wrote this Christmas song. I'm like, all right, so I guess we ought to record it. So we recorded it in the summertime. And then a year passed, and then it was like, okay, it's time to shoot something. It's time to do something. So, but a lot of women feel this way, yeah?
Oh, are you kidding me? Let me tell you something. And I'm glad you brought up what you did, because actually I've been agonizing whether I am going to do a hybrid jazz show on December 26th. And you just confirmed for me, Debbie, that I'm not, because that will be a day of rest, okay?
Yeah, right. Don't do that to yourself. You know,
no.
Where did we sign up for that much stuff? That's, I keep saying, where did women sign up for this much? And you know, we have these inner taskmasters that just are unrelenting. It's not enough that we've shopped and we've gotten everything wrapped and the kids are all, whether your kids are older or younger, you're always a parent, it seems. So whether you've gotten the kids squared away and travel plans and people are in and, you know, you've got the pillows and the lodging and the clean linens and everything's ready and your house is ready, it doesn't matter. It's never enough. And so we want to go that one step forward. No, I say, don't do December 26th, and it's all about you. Pamper yourself.
Exactly. Exactly right. Enjoying the fruits of your labor from folks who hopefully have had a clue as to what to get you on Christmas.
Well, good luck with that one, because I don't know.
Right.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah.
Look, you know what? It's gotten to the point where I've told my son, because he wanted a list from me. His dad was going to take him out shopping. I said, here's the thing. Get what's on the list. Don't get anything that is not on the list, because it's just more crap in the house.
That's exactly right. Exactly.
Yes.
You know what? Most of us pretty much, and I can't speak for everybody, but I can say that most people I know in this country, poverty is something we really don't know. We think we know poverty, and you don't know poverty until you really travel outside the United States and
you see how
people really live and
yep.
what real poverty means. So I say, for those of us that are, you know, that I knock around into in my life in the music business, we are very fortunate. We have roofs over our heads. We have our bellies full, and
yes.
we pretty much can figure out how to pay a bill. So
yes.
You know, and we can get medication, and, you know, we can take care of those day-to-day things, and we can take care of our children. Now, there are some extenuating circumstances, of course there are, but we're still so, so fortunate, blessed, just so, so fortunate to have what we have. I think that when we can just stop and take a minute and really step back, which we really need to do and breathe, we can look at all the stuff we got and figure, do we need to pile on more stuff? Because, see, there are people that may not be truly poverty-stricken like I've been speaking of as in like overseas poverty-stricken, but there are people that really are making that decision whether they can buy medication or whether they can afford to get something that's really necessary in their day-to-day. Should I pay my light bill or can I buy groceries?
Oh,
that's
oh my God.
So if we,
yes.
If we can give gifts that way, and I got tired of Christmas. My kids were younger. My kids are young ladies now. But when my kids were kids, I was so done with it. And I turned to my family and I said, I am finished with Christmas. So we are going to provide Christmas for somebody else. I found a single mother who had two kids of her own, and she took in four more. And
we just started
buying stuff. I got her from a list from my cousin who ran. She was the head of an initiative, a health initiative in Montgomery County. I said, I need a family because I want to do something different. We bought their whole Christmas, and what was really neat was we got to take it to them. So we took everything to them. Yeah, it wasn't like there was a separation with this agency in the middle. We took it to them. My kids never forget it. They never have forgotten it. We supplied coats, and we supplied toys, and we supplied things that they needed, and that was the biggest Christmas gift I could give them and my girls because they got to see what giving really means, and it made everybody just feel so good, and it was so wonderful to give because we got enough stuff. We got enough stuff.
We really do.
Yeah, they want you to believe you don't have enough stuff. You got plenty of stuff. So let's look out for one another, and let's give the way we really should be giving, which is, you know, giving of our time, giving of our resources. And even you might not have a whole lot, but I bet you got more than a lot of people. So if you could find a way to just give a little, you know. So that was also my impetus in the video. Joe, of course, wrote the song because Joe is truly in touch with his feminine side, and I love him for it. And
I love him. He is so cool.
To write a song like that, come on already. I love it, I love it, I love it. But then
and
with my angst over Christmas, it was a beautiful marriage. Joe and I, it was just perfect.
let's be clear, Marcia,
who I love.
You know,
yeah.
Joe, if you're listening, please. We want to rephrase this because we know that you are a guy's guy, but you certainly are in touch with this side that coexisted beautifully with Debbie. I love it. And you know what, Debbie, I didn't realize initially that was Joe on guitar with you in the video. And it makes me laugh so much because I love Joe's music and I know his history because he was actually at one point in Hollywood and contributing to major TV shows. So to have him...
guitarist.
Oh, he really is. And then to have him back in Baltimore and working with you, it's such a special little association. I love it.
It really is, and we're hilarious together. I don't know. I don't know if the world is ready for Debbie and Joe, but we should be hitting the stages pretty soon.
Oh, that would be so awesome.
I don't know,
Joe,
what do you think? Well, I have to give also a shout. Go ahead.
Shout out.
The other thing is his wife. Joe is truly a man's man, and he's an incredible, consummate musician. He really is beautiful, and he's got the most amazing taste in women because his wife, Marcia, also is just an angel who has been a driving force and just, oh, man, the support. And that woman sends me text messages that brings me to my knees. She's just so full of love and life. So, you know, I'm a Dakara fan, and I just love them so. But I'm just really happy that the holidays are here. And back off, Santa. I thank you for playing it. We just released it, so I'm hoping that it can catch on and it can grow. And it really, to me, is a Christmas classic. It has that feel that Brenda Lee rocking around the Christmas tree, but with a new twist type of thing.
I think you're right, Debbie. I really do, and I'm not just blowing smoke because this is the song that we need for 2013 going into 2014. Seriously, I mean, with all the bones of contention, and I'm really glad that there was controversy about so many of these stores opening up for Thanksgiving that really broke my heart. And if we want to get serious about it, we have to do, as we were talking before, Angelisha and Charmaine, last hour, we have to be the squeaky wheels that get the grease, and we've got to put money where our mouth is, meaning that if we don't want to see the holidays corrupted like this, we have to stay away from the stores. You know, what else can we do? If we say, oh, that's just a horrible idea, and you go be a patron for them anyway,
that's right.
Shut up. Shut up.
That's exactly right. And you know what? I did, I don't know about everybody that's listening, I did one Black Friday, one Black Friday many, many years ago. I vowed there was nothing on the planet that could be discounted enough for me to do it again.
Never.
I did it. I tried it, and that was insanity. It was dangerous. It was crazy, but I got to see what it was. But really, if we are allowing ourselves to participate, then we're as guilty as those in charge of keeping the stores open during those times when really they should be closed and people can enjoy being with their family. And we really, you know. How much are you going to sell your soul for? That's kind of what it goes back to. I tell my kids, can you be bought? You know, how much are you going to put a price tag on yourself? And you have to answer that question. You got to think about it. And the retail world, I understand, you know, God bless retail stores. They employ people. That's great. But, geez, they're not losing but so much if you really look at what they're doing. Now I sound like public radio, but if you really look at their bottom line, they're only down a small percentage, you know, and typically they're up. If you really look at it and you don't just believe what you hear on the news, but you really, you know, go and take a look at what the shareholders get to see, they're not really losing but so much. But we're losing. The integrity of the family's losing. The integrity of the individual, there's a lot to that. So Back Off Santa is kitschy, and it's fun, and it's, you know, a little naughty. And
I like
Santa
the naughty
was,
part there.
Santa was a treat for my girls out there. Cause he
oh,
really is.
Lord.
I mean, come on now. Beautiful.
That was a
but,
very wise move. Very wise move to have
thank
that
you.
Santa.
I thought so, too, yeah. I thought so, too. And the auditions for that were a blast. But when you look at it, it's really a bigger message. So, you know, next year, I think that Back Off Santa is going to be relevant till the end of time, actually. And I hope that it isn't relevant. I hope it's just something people can mindlessly enjoy. But I think it will be relevant because the message goes so much deeper than that. And Santa kind of does need to back off until after Thanksgiving. You can go, you know, day after Thanksgiving, you know, go full force. But I don't need to walk into my neighborhood Costco and see Christmas trees in September. Really?
I don't know.
That's just
no,
me.
And
I can only speak for myself.
The relentless advertising on favorite shows during the holiday season. I actually, Debbie, because of your song, I've actually been monitoring the TV even more to see what the language is that these folks who have us as consumer slaves would tell us what is mandatory this holiday season. And it seems as though all of the last-minute stuff that we were hearing a few years ago is now pulled up, and we're hearing about, oh, you got to get your shipping in today. Oh, you want to take advantage of these sales now because they won't be here if you wait any longer. I'm mindful of all of that. And it's really starting to disgust me because it goes back to we need to speak up and stop being such cash cows that we can't savor the time that Christmas is supposed to mean. And, of course, there would be people who would say, well, I don't believe in Christmas, but I enjoy the holiday season. How much can you enjoy it if it's so much focused on money? How much can you enjoy it?
I agree, and it really is. It's about the bottom line, the dollar, and the economy. And I'll tell you, not everybody celebrates Christmas, and not everybody celebrates everything, but that's what makes us so beautiful is that, to me, the differences, and there are differences, but they need to be celebrated. So it's great that we don't all do the same thing. Personally, I don't have a problem with that. I think that it's great because the world is big, and we can celebrate one another, and we can include one another and educate one another. But one thing that we all have in common would be our spending dollars and our power. So, yeah, you have every right to be disgusted. And, yeah, who wants to, you know, it's funny. I'm riding in my car, and very rarely am I listening to regular radio anymore. Because
I hear that.
Because.
I hear it.
But every now and again, my finger will slip off of Gregory Porter, which is always in my disc player, or, you know, Gretchen Parlato, who's always in my disc player, because you know I love Gretchen Parlato.
Yes,
and
I do.
So, yes, you do. So I'm listening, and then all of a sudden the radio will just be on, and I'm like, why am I hearing this? Oh, this is annoying. It's commercials. I'm listening to what I think is just music because I'm mindless at that time. I'm driving. And all of a sudden I start paying attention to what my ears are hearing, and I'm like, oh, wait a minute, I must have hit the FM instead of my disc. And now I'm listening to a bunch of commercials, and this is annoying. And it assaults my ears. So, yeah, it's that. But anyway, back to a higher and happier note. Yes, back off Santa. I want everybody to go to YouTube. Go to YouTube and take a load off for 3 minutes and 1 second and send that to all your friends and family so they can get a laugh for the holidays. And also, Debbie Kirkland, I'm finally back in and coming out with another project. Thank goodness. So I'm working hard starting in January.
Really,
yeah,
really, really?
Fine.
Oh, my
it's
gosh.
Fine.
Oh,
I'm
Debbie,
like,
that's
so
fascinating.
That.
Oh,
yeah.
Good. Please keep me posted on that because, you know, I was telling Griselda in the chat room, she's been here from day one as far as the show is concerned in the chat room. And by the way, I'll say this while you're with me on the phone, we are almost at 101,000 listens to this show since it started. Isn't that crazy?
That's amazing. Congratulations. Well, you deserve it. You so deserve it.
Thank you so much. It's just insane because you don't necessarily think of it, and then all of a sudden the screen pops up and there's like 500 more listens that have happened since the last time you looked. But anyway, I say all this to say that Griselda is really happy because of all of the talent that she has heard. Folks living in this region, Debbie, is this not the best region? I mean, as far as like instrumental and vocal talent, and you are among the best. And to see this video and to hear that voice, we want more. We want more.
Oh, well, you're going to get more. I start working on things in January. I need to get this project, you know, to its conclusion for this year. And then from there, I will start recording and working out new material for you know, this 2014, so I should be releasing something. I'm very, very excited about that. It's been a long time for me, a lot of personal growth and personal space, and now I'm coming back to it. And I call it my new and improved, you know, me. So there you go.
So, you know, let me ask you this. You took a break from it.
I did.
And there was a reason for that break. Was it a mandatory break, or was it something that you decided on all by yourself?
Well, it was mandatory in that I just didn't have a song in my heart, and I had no music in my soul. I was going through some personal stuff, and then after, you know, my kids are growing up too, and I needed to be on board for them because I don't think you can get it back. You know, I can't go backwards in time, so I wanted to be there to see them grow and to anchor them and to make sure they were, you know, launched.
Yes.
But I am finally back, and it wasn't the easiest time the last few years, but it was so important and worthwhile. It was an introspection and a journey that a lot of people would never want to take. You know how you do something and you go, tag on it, I said I'd never do that again. Why'd I do that? Why'd I say that?
And
so I wanted to get to the root of why I said things and why I did things and why I felt things. And, you know, and it's a never-ending journey for me, and it's a very spiritual journey for me. But now I'm stronger. Now I'm more aware. I'm awake in a way I've never been. And life is beautiful. people say, "Hey, Deb, how you doing?" And I'm like, "I'm great. I'm living the dream." So I couldn't come up with anything more than living the dream. And I work every day. I mean, I work. I go to bed really late. I work really hard because I work for myself. So, you know, there's no end time for me. But how lucky am I, and I am living the dream. And I hope to be able to reach out. I teach voice. I have voice students that I adore them. I got my music degree in classical voice, and I never thought that I would ever teach. But people kept coming to me, "Can you coach me through this? Can you help me with that?" And these are professional singers as well. And I'm like, "Yeah, sure." And then I'm like, "Oh, wow, maybe I should teach." And so I started teaching, and now I have a private studio. I love it. Love it, love it, love it.
Oh, awesome, really?
I make more voices ring and get people to who they are. And that's the biggest part, that just literally I'm sitting there at the piano and they're standing up doing, you know, whatever they're doing, and I hear their voices click in, and I just literally, it just moves me so much, because many people come in and they think, "Oh, I'm supposed to sound this way and I should sound this way," and they don't necessarily understand. Everybody has their individual sound, and that is to be celebrated. And you got to get to it. So in the tradition of my teachers, I teach pedagogy. I really teach, you know, accessing tone and how to support it and things that, you know, make a good singer and the tools that they need to go on to the next studio. And there's always another level. And so it's really very, very wonderful that I get to work with the people that I work with. You know, I just look and say I'm living the dream. This is, I mean, what I get to do every day, as long as my kids are safe, I pray for safety for my kids and my loved ones and myself, and, you know, I just keep moving. So it was mandatory in that I needed to do this for myself. I needed to know who I was. I now know who I am better than I've ever known. And it's scary to know who you are, to sit in a room and go, "What do I like? Ooh. Well, who am I?" And, yeah, that's some scary stuff. So that's kind of what I was doing over the last few years.
And you said something there about going back and doing the same thing and then berating yourself because you know that maybe you have a tendency to do some things, and yet you do them again. And
yeah, what are your triggers? Where are they coming from?
Right. And actually, the fact is that my son and I have these conversations all the time now. You're human. You're apt to make mistakes and keep going back to the same things until you really do learn the lesson that, okay, that's not good for you, or that's not the best choice. So, you know, some of us learn that when we're in our 20s, some in their 30s. Some, gulping hard here, learn these things when we're in our 60s. So, Debbie, don't feel bad that you go back to doing the same stuff, because you really, and this is important, when you're ready to hear it, it sinks in. That's all.
Yeah, and that's exactly right. There was a book, and I admit this publicly. There's a book by Eckhart Tolle called A New Earth, and it has changed my life. It took me 7 years to read it.
Oh my gosh.
I read the first 15 pages the first 2 years. I kept going back reading the same 15 pages going, "What?" But I wasn't ready to receive what that was, and now I get it. I get it, and I reread it over and over again, because now I'm open enough and I'm in a place to get those things. And I tell you, you really just, it does come to you when you're ready in many, many ways, but you also have to be awake enough to seek it. So,
and for sure, for sure, yeah.
Yeah, it's a lot. It's a lot to it. But life is beautiful, and your program is beautiful, and I am excited that Back Off Santa is out to be consumed by the public, and that I have beautiful people like Joe and Marcia in my life, and you, and all this love that I get, and I love it, because it's what propels me. It helps motivate me to know that my work is important enough to put a smile on somebody's face. Sometimes it's not like, you know, I was listening to the Coltrane Favorite Things, which is one of my favorite renditions of Favorite Things.
Absolutely. Yes.
And so, you know, not everything's that heavy, though. Not everything is John Coltrane. Not everything is. Some stuff is created just to give you a break. So this really was to give people a break. And, yes, I do have deep-seated feelings about Christmas. Yes, I do. However, it really was designed. It was designed with just sheer entertainment in mind, you know, just fun stuff. You take a look at it. You take a look at Santa Claus. You give yourself a couple of breaks throughout the day, and then you keep going because it takes a lot to pull off Christmas in most households lately. And we need to give ourselves a break. And December 26th, put your little feet up and get yourself, you know, a little snuggly and wrap it around you and really take stock of what you did in 2013 and how brilliant 2014 is going to shine for all of us if we want it to. If that's what our intention is.
There you go. There you go. And that really does sum it up because, you know, there are some things that are out of our hands. And I kind of like those things that are out of our hands because I've got a lot of faith in God that he's paving the way. But you know what? God really wants us to do some things for ourselves, too. So there are things
that's
in
right.
place that we need to pay attention to along the way. We need to be paying attention to what other people need. We need to pay less attention to what we need. But we also need to make sure that all of us is being nourished as we go along. Not to say that we need to be narcissistic, but we need to make sure that we take care of ourselves so that we can take care of other people. And that needs to get reprioritized in 2014 so that we don't start to tip the other way as far as the balance is concerned. We need to make sure that everybody around us is who we want to have around us.
Oh, that's so very important. That energy, the energy,
yes.
The negative energy. We have all the control. We sit there and we go, oh, well, I can't. That person, this person, oh, that person, can you believe? You know what? We have all the power in the world, and God helps those that help themselves. I've always lived by that.
Oh,
I
yes.
truly believe it. I truly believe it because what's that tale? Well, you know, two guys were on a golf course and lightning strikes. And there's two ways of thinking about it. One is lightning strikes the guy, and it's like, well, you know, because God will provide for me, you know, I could stand here and have faith, or I could just walk to that shelter that's like 50 feet away. And kind of like you got to pick it up and do it for yourself. And once you start doing something for yourself, energy takes over, momentum takes over, and you will attract more positive.
That's right.
If you're on a positive trajectory. So I'm loving the fact that you brought that up. You are so right. And I've seen it with myself. I've seen it with other people. There are all those people we all know, negative, negative, negative. But finally look up and you say, you know what? I'm tired of my story. I'm tired of telling my bad old story. I'm sick of my story. Let me create a new story. I have that power. And then you start doing just one, I always say, one thing a day. If you can look up and say, I did something to get me forward. It could have been
that's
as
right.
much as I went to the grocery store because I needed something, or I put gas in my car, or I made that one phone call I've been putting off. It's fear. It's a lot of stuff. This is a whole other program we're going into. However, you know, I'm going after my ultimate goal is a television show.
Oh, you would be so great. You would be absolutely great. Oh, my God,
oh,
Debbie.
This is right up my alley. But if we could just get ourselves to do the smallest thing. And some people have the hardest time at this time of the year because a lot of familial stuff when you were a kid that wasn't so good. You know, we all had crap. I'm going to tell you, there's not one person that's living that didn't have their share of something not so good. But when are you going to stop wallowing in your story and start creating and writing your new story, painting your new picture? When are you going to do that?
Oh, Lord.
And that's
we
what I
really
do.
Every
day. Every day.
Well, thank
you
God you had this revelation. Honest to gosh, thank God you had the revelation because we have to talk like this because some folks are in serious pain out here. But,
absolutely.
You know, some of the serious pain has been so self-inflicted that it is really time to pull away, get off Facebook, first of all, get off Twitter, that's another addiction, and understand, you know, if you want to plunk yourself in front of the Hallmark Channel, as I've been doing lately, you go ahead and do that and don't apologize for it, because you're not going to see another shoe drop in the way of negativity on those kinds of projects that they do on the Hallmark Channel. We really need to get... I do too, and we need to get our balance back. There needs to be a whole lot more love in our life and not question marks and doubt and the constant images that assault us day to day that we can choose not to watch, period.
That's exactly right. And we also just have to look at that fear, because fear is truly debilitating. And I will say that, you know, there's also the chemical imbalance that happens.
Oops. There she goes.
That seasonal depression.
Oh, okay. You were gone for a minute.
I'm right here. I'm here. You there?
Okay. You were actually gone for about a few seconds. Okay.
Okay.
You're back.
Well, I was saying that some folks have a chemical imbalance. So, you know, that notwithstanding, if this is a time of the year and it's seasonal and it's tough for you, you know, if you really sit with it and go, why does this depress me? Oh, yeah, because Aunt such and such did this, and it hurt me. It all goes to a hurt a lot of times. And it's that hurt that we carry with us, and it festers, and it permeates everything. If we can look at it, and sometimes I will say go get some help looking at it, because that's a beautiful thing to do too, and get past it and walk through it and sit through it, know that you'll get to a better day. But walking through your fear, even if it's a little fear or a big fear, you know, face it and get to the other side of it. And then from there, you move on. And I want everybody to be joyous and be around loved ones. And if you don't have family, you know, your friends, you make family of friends. I did that. I have plenty of people that I share my holidays with that aren't blood. But they're truly beautiful. And we can pick our friends. We can't pick our family, you know. Family,
and that would be
a
third
different
show. That right there would be a third show.
Now I got three of them.
Yeah, we don't want to go into that at all.
That's crazy. But we can get ourselves to a better day if we want to. And that's the thing, you got to want it. Nobody can give it to you. So give yourselves a present at Christmas this year and tell yourself, I'm going to do one little thing that gives me joy, one little thing that I can hold on to, that I may have been afraid to tackle before, but I can do this thing. And just know there's no judgment, because it's all about you, nobody else.
Well, that's really a gift that you've given someone, because actually, Debbie, people have to hear others. Give them permission to enjoy their lives. So that's going to really resonate with some folks to hear you say that, because you're right. At this time of year, it's not necessarily all candy canes and peppermint coffee and Starbucks freebies. It's a lot, and notice all the food imagery I just put in front of you.
Yeah,
people have a tough time this time of year because of some crippling effects from their past. And the help out there is enormous. We're going through a situation in our family where, there's a family member that needs to go see a psychologist. My gosh, if you knew all the help that was out there, you would be so surprised. And it doesn't cost an arm and a leg. Some of this could be free. You just have to know that the help is out there in a matter of doing a Google search. So don't ever feel alone in this this time that we go through. Here it is, December 17th, and folks are feeling panicky because Christmas is approaching. All you have to do is realize that if you have a friend, or if you have one family member that you trust, or if you know of a person who is a minister or a rabbi, somebody is there to help you go through it. You are never alone.
That's right. That's right. You're not. And many times it's what we put in ourselves. We have this unrealistic expectation of how it should be, just sometimes you being and breathing is enough. And so you don't have to make the perfect Christmas or whatever. And this is the other extreme. Just giving yourself permission, as you said, to just take a breather. And if you don't have someone and you're lonely, there are people out there. This season in particular, people are, you know, we're an interesting bunch lately. Not so nice. I don't like how we treat each other. But I will tell you, if you're going to find somebody nice, this season does tend to bring that out. And you'd be surprised just knocking on a door and just saying, hi, I'm such and such, or, you know, in a safe manner, mind you. But extending yourself, people actually want to connect. We're made to connect. We're made to be with each other. We aren't made to exist alone. So there are other people out there that want to connect as well. So with that said, you know, just kind of walk outside your comfort zone a bit and say, hey, how are you? And just, or just give that smile when you're afraid to give that smile. You'd be surprised what a smile will do and how it makes you feel.
Yeah.
How it makes you feel. But,
And if somebody says something cross to you or somebody is short with you, you know what? This might be a good time to pull back and say, it wasn't personal. So why don't you try to combat that anger with something that totally disarms them and put your, you know, even extend your hand and say, just want to say Merry Christmas to you. Seems like you're having a bad day or whatever, and God bless, and just move along, because you could change their whole world.
That's so true. That's very, very true. And it's amazing how people just melt in to you when you just smile at them and say hello.
Oh, they're not used to that. Oh, it's so sad. We used to be a world that had a lot more smiles, but, you know, it just seems, Debbie, this is another thing entirely, but it seems as though, particularly since 9/11, 2001, we have become slowly embittered and angry and more forceful and more aggressive, and, man, we need to recognize that, because we don't deserve to have the kind of treatment that we get from one another. And maybe this new year will be a reawakening. I sure hope so.
I hope so, too. In referencing Eckhart Tolle, the book A New Earth talks about the ego and the balance of the ego and how the ego is so important. But when you find someone that is insecure, when you find someone that doesn't love themselves, doesn't like themselves, typically that's what you get. We get a lot of rudeness, and it's really bravado, because what ends up happening is people are not willing to look at themselves or go inwards, so they're going to lash outwards. You know, it's like that kid that always puts you down, or that person that always puts somebody else down, because they don't like themselves. So
if we step back
and kind of do some introspection, we'll be surprised to see what our triggers are and how we react. It's really very interesting. It's quite the study. And the hardest place to go is inside. So I love Eckhart Tolle, and I just, oh, my gosh, what a beautiful man he is. To write what he writes makes all the sense in the world. But we don't. He calls it the collective human dysfunction. But that's what it is. And we need to change that. There is a shift, and it is occurring, but we need to keep trying to be aware. As long as we're aware, we can make changes. It's the people that don't understand that being aware is so important, because they don't know. They're unconsciously, you know, bringing on the negative, bringing on that rudeness, bringing on that I'm going to cut you off because I'm so important. Are we important? Who's important? Am I important?
Right.
I'm no important.
That's right.
More important than you are, and we're all important. Everybody's important. So, you know, nobody's more important than anybody else. So it's a whole big old thing of mess. And I hope that 2014 we can bring about this shift, that we can love one another more. Or I tell you what, everybody, I'm challenging you, and you can report back to Hybrid Jazz. All right, so the next time you're in the car or in the supermarket or something, and it's shopping, so I know there's going to be plenty of opportunity to experience this, and somebody, let's see, cuts you off or jumps in line or does something rude, instead of your initial knee-jerk reaction, which is, I can't believe you just did that, I want you all to step back and think about it and think about how your ego is coming into play, and then think about, that person may have somebody that's at home that's really, really ill.
That's
that person
right.
may have just lost their job. That person may have had something horrifically happen. That person may be going home to nothing.
That
we
is
don't
so,
know.
That is the most important thing that you could possibly have said, and especially now that we're all so frantic as we go into these next several days, it's really important to take a step back and remember that anything you say, once you have said it in a negative way, can't be taken back. And you might completely change the whole next year and life forevermore for that person by remembering that kindness is not a lost art. Kindness is everything. And Mother Teresa is right. The more that you give to so many, even to one person, it comes back to you. And it's not that we're operating from that selfish point of view, but it's something that we have to remember. Us as a whole, we can either be gifts to give one another, or we can be just the opposite. And if we're just the opposite, why on earth is there a point in living?
That's right.
So we didn't know it was, Debbie, we didn't know it was going to take this turn when you came on the show.
Woo! This is about the longest I've run, but I love it. I love it. Well, I love your show anyway, and I have watched the show gain so much steam going from year to year, and I remember when you were trying to do this, and, I mean, this is just beautiful. So I'm always in your corner, but to get a chance to have a platform to discuss these types of things, they're not pretty, but they're necessary because everybody deserves a good life, and this is a tool to getting to a good life. And so I thank you for giving me the format to even, you know, enter into a discussion about it, and I hope that the listeners that are out there that are having a wonderful time can you know, extend a wonderful time in a different way to someone else, and someone that's not having such a great time this season for whatever reason can find a way to give themselves something special, because they're special, because every last one of us is special, and we're gifts. We are gifts to each other, and we can choose how we want to present that gift every day. That's our choice. Circumstances, things come in, but ultimately we always have the choice of how we react. We are responsible for our choices, how we react. But I thank you. You are awesome, and I wish every listener an incredible, incredible holiday season and new year and 2014. I'm excited for it, and I got new music coming out. And I really just appreciate the opportunity to share my music, and that's just powerful within itself. So I have to thank you for that.
Well, Debbie, look, when that new music comes along, you come back and we'll play a few tracks. Whatever you want to do, we'll bring people on board who were part of the project. And
awesome.
I think this is the perfect opportunity. I never do this, but I'm going to play Back Off Santa again.
Thank you. Wow. I'm feeling special.
Oh, you are special.
Thank you. You're welcome,
Debbie. Have a happy holiday season. Thanks for spending the time today, really.
Oh, absolutely. I couldn't have been in a better place. I thank you. I thank your listeners, and I wish everyone a beautiful holiday season.
I love it. Love you, and I'll see you soon.
Love you, too. Okay. Bye-bye.
All right. Bye-bye. Debbie Kirkland, everybody, let's play it, because we got a little time. Back Off Santa on Hybrid Jazz from Trish Hennessy.
And I'm falling behind. A million things to do. I think I'm losing my mind. Why don't you back off, Santa, and hold off, Rudolph? Back off, Santa, maybe come a little later this year. Training cards and packages, the list never ends. The dinners and the parties with my family and friends. Why don't you back
Sure who this is on the phone right now, but we're going to answer the phone because they were holding for a while. They hung up. Call back again. So 818 area code. Hello, who is this? Let me see
here. Mark Arthur Miller, y'all.
Hey, Mark, how are you, sweet pie?
Hi, baby.
I'm so glad you called. This is awesome. I didn't expect that. Yay.
Yeah, I just wanted to wish you a happy holiday.
Well, thank you, and the same to you. Oh, my gosh, I've been thinking about you because my friend Cedric did your dad's song, and I had that vision of old school Christmases going back to the 60s and 70s, and you were on my mind in the back, never far from the front.
Well, you know, if I'm home and I'm not crazy busy, I'm trying to, you know, listen to the show, but my computer went out. And then so I've had to look on my phone to get updates and everything. So my computer's in the shop till later tonight. So I just saw that you had an open line. I said, you know what, I'm going to call up and say hello and Merry Christmas and Happy Holidays and send you some love.
Oh, good. I needed the love. How'd you know? How did you know? That's awesome. And everything okay with you?
Everything's great. Everything's terrific, yeah. Everything's
okay.
Good. Yeah.
So, yeah. So while we're on that subject of everything's good, do you have any news maybe for us in regard to soul searching and maybe more music maybe?
Well, Peter and I are writing, and we're going to probably be back in the studio hopefully in, you know, the next couple months. I'm going to let everybody get through the holidays, and then I'm going to do a Kickstarter project probably in February. And so I'll let you know more about that because I'd love to be on again and you know, drum up some excitement about that and then get into the studio and record some of my songs and Peter's songs and some other stuff, my dad's song, Heaven Help Us All, which I'm going to put on the second half of the record.
Great.
I signed with KMP Artists out here, which is a great booking managing firm, and they're we're trying to get to Australia this summer, and it looks like I'm going to be doing the Soul Searching show back home in Chicago in April.
Oh, that is great. Oh, well, cool.
Yeah.
That might coincide really well, though, because if you've got Kickstarter coming up in February and do the show in March in Chicago, that will work out real well. So let's try to gather as much momentum as possible and have you back.
That would be great. That would be absolutely terrific. Yeah.
Oh, boy. Yeah. I'm excited, Mark. Yay. 2014 is going to be good.
Yeah, thank you, sweetie. And how about you? What do you do? What are you guys doing? You just staying home and relaxing and having a good holiday at home?
Yes, and that's exactly what I would want, seriously. We're going to be here, and there's two new things now. I had one thing to announce as soon as I can get the input from my business partner about that. But now, as of the past, I'd say 16 hours, there's something else to announce. And it's really going to be good. These are like Christmas gifts that have arrived at my door. Yes.
Oh, wow. I'm excited to hear.
And you know what? You'll stay excited because
this will change the flavor of things to a large degree as far as those that I know who have been on the show who will always get first priority. It will affect you and anybody else who has been on Hybrid Jazz. And then the second part of that is there's another project that will gain more notoriety for the long-term goal, which is to make this show a full-time radio station.
Yeah, that's what it should be.
Yeah. So keep that in your good thoughts and wishes and prayers this holiday season. And
I will send that good stuff out there.
Thank you. I know you will, because you always do. Bless your heart.
Thank you.
Well,
right,
I'm glad you called.
Yeah.
That's so awesome.
I just want to say hi.
Yeah. I'm glad. Well, you have a safe holiday season and a healthy one and peaceful, and we'll talk again very soon.
Yeah, we'll talk in the new year. Okay, so you have a great holiday. All right, babe. Bye.
Thank you, Mark. Bye.
Bye.
Such a sweetie pie. Mark Arthur Miller, whose dad was absolutely crucial to the sound of Motown back then when the sounds were important, if you know what I mean, Jelly Bean. I think you do. And Mark, long story about his dad, which he shared when he was on the show, but they finally got together and they had a wonderful relationship. And Mark has made some strong strides in the Los Angeles area, and it looks as though things are going to be looking up even more in the new year. Man, what a voice, what a charisma. He's a formidable personality on stage, and then this EP, Soul Searching, is just wonderful. Listen, speaking of just wonderful, thank you to Angelisha Rogers, Charmaine Michelle, Tim Warfield, Debbie Kirkland. Oh, my gosh. Just so amazing to have these people around us on Hybrid Jazz from Trish Hennessy. And another special, special ladies come our way on Thursday just before she hits Blues Alley in Washington, D.C. over this next weekend. And that will be the great Lynn Fidmont. Oh, yes. You know, Lynn's got some stories. Some of them she can share on the radio. Thank you so much for all your support. Close to 101,000 listens for the show. Oh, my God, that's awesome. God bless. We'll talk to you soon. Have a wonderful night. Have a wonderful Wednesday, and we'll see you Thursday right back here.